Welcome to How Stuff Works Now. I'm your host, Lauren Vogelbaum, a researcher and writer here at How Stuff Works. Every week, I'm bringing you three stories from our team about the weird and wondrous advances we've seen in science, technology, and culture. Except when I don't. This week, we've got two, because holiday production scheduling is hilarious. One of them is something of a PSA. If you want 2016 to be over as quickly as possible, I've got bad news. Beyond feeling longer, it's going to literally be longer than most years. But first, I've got a historical story for you with thanks to our freelance writer John Donovan. Here in the United States, Christmas is a national holiday, and with the holiday season in full aggressive swing, it's easy to imagine that it's always been this way. But for hundreds of years, the Puritans actually said "Bah humbug" to Christmas. When the Mayflower landed at what is now Cape Cod, Massachusetts in 1620, the Pilgrims brought more than just literal baggage. They were aiming, of course, to establish a new way of life in the New World. One thing the Puritans wanted to leave behind? Christmas. In England, as in much of Europe, Christmas was rife with unbridled partying. The harvests were over, the cattle were slaughtered so that they wouldn't need to be fed throughout the winter. That made fresh meat and fresh booze plentiful, as well as the time to eat, drink, and carry on. Puritans didn't buy into the idea of Christmas. The Bible notes no date for Jesus' birth. In the Puritan mind, therefore, there was nothing to celebrate. According to Dr. Penny Restad, author of Christmas in America, A History, the Christmas season in England had become a time of excess, feasting, gambling, and general debauchery. The Puritans saw it as exemplifying the decline of their values in English society. So choosing not to celebrate was a way for them to stand firm against what they considered a decay of civilization. They were so serious about treating December 25th as just another day that everyone on the Mayflower, some of whom, mind, were not Puritans, worked on the first Christmas day that they spent in America. The non-Puritans in the bunch were not as keen on the ban on Christmas. Restad says it wasn't long before they started acting out, refusing to work and taking to the streets to play games and generally frolic. William Bradford, an English separatist and early governor of Plymouth Colony, didn't penalize anyone for it, but he did tell them to take all that foul partying indoors on the idea that it set a bad tone. Not all of America was so against the idea of celebrating Christmas, though. Settlements in the southern part of America, like the one in Jamestown, Virginia, let loose, but the Puritans kept a stranglehold on fun in New England, even if the ban was never completely successful. According to Stephen Nissenbaum, the author of The Battle for Christmas, maritime communities hosting fishermen and sailors, like Marblehead, were steadfast about keeping their Christmas traditions and other English folk practices, and drinking and sex habits. The Puritan population considered these communities to be made up of incorrigible sinners and would maintain their disdain for Christmas for decades. Though there was a similar movement in England for a while, Christmas was outlawed with an Act of Parliament in 1644 that was enforced by political and military leader Oliver Cromwell. In America, things became so stringent that between 1659 and 1681, anyone in Boston caught celebrating Christmas was subject to a 5-shilling fine. A changing society, though, would not be denied. Here's a passage from Christmas in America, A History. In the end, whether slowly in New England or more rapidly in the middle colonies and the South, the forces of pluralism and the need for social harmony shaped and encouraged Christmas celebration. Yet its status as a holiday remained haphazard and varied widely. It would take the project of nation building in the wake of the Revolution to begin to define an American conception of Christmas. Even after the colonies united and became a nation, years passed before Christmas became the holiday we know it as today. Congress was in session on Christmas Day in 1789, the year after the Constitution was ratified. The Senate worked on Christmas Day in 1797, and the House met on Christmas Day in 1802. Christmas wouldn't begin to take its present form until later in the 19th century. Different religions and denominations, like Protestants and Catholics among them, emerged in America, and they held Christmas as both a holy day and a day of celebration. The Puritans noticed and started to move away from their insistence on their neighbors conforming to their own way of thinking. People of different religions formed local governments, and trade between various networks helped calm the antipathies between the factions. As the New World prospered and a middle class was born, the idea of giving and receiving Christmas gifts took hold. An emphasis on home and family followed, away from the frolicking in the streets and the male-centered celebrations involving drinking, feasting, and sex. Finally, in 1870, 250 years after Puritans landed at Plymouth and put the squeeze on the idea of Christmas as a celebration, the U.S. declared Christmas a national holiday. Ever since, celebrations big and small, secular and non-secular, have marked the day. And finally this week, staff editor Christopher Hasiotis and freelance writer Patrick J. Kiger explain why 2016 is a long year. Technically, long. Just by an extra second. I hope my teaser at the top wasn't too clickbaity. Listen, baity? Take it away, Christopher.
There's a lot to say goodbye to as 2016 comes to a close. The deaths of great artists, countless global tragedies, an acrimonious U.S. presidential campaign, and many other events have made many of us eager to get the seemingly interminable nastiness over with, once and for all. But, thanks to the precision of modern timekeeping, we'll have to wait one additional second on New Year's Eve before we can welcome a hopefully better 2017. The additional unit of time, known as a leap second, gets officially inserted precisely 1 second before midnight strikes on Saturday, December 31st, at England's Royal Observatory in Greenwich. Since 1884, that's been the location of the prime meridian for Greenwich Mean Time, also known as Coordinated Universal Time, and that's what sets the standard for the rest of the world's time zones. So why is this really necessary? Well, for most of history, people used the Earth itself as a giant clock, under the assumption that it always rotated at the same precise speed, and we were unaware of the accompanying global wobble we now know about. But with the development in the 1940s of the first atomic clock, which used the vibration of the cesium atom to measure units of time very, 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 very precisely, it became apparent that Earth isn't all that dependable of a clock when you're talking millions and billions of years. That's because the planet's rotation is very, very, very slowly decreasing by about 0.002 seconds per day. That means that every 18 months or so, Earth loses about 1 second of time. On the other hand, atomic clocks like the ones we've been using typically lose about a billionth of 1 second per day. That discrepancy between atomic clocks and the Earth results in some complications, minor as they may be, because we still use our planet's rotation as the basis for the calendar. To compensate for the slight irregularity between systems, a United Nations agency called the International Telecommunications Union adds 1 single second to Coordinated Universal Time every so often, just to even things out and make sure we're still okay. Think of this as a miniature version of why we add a 29th day to February every 4 years. In fact, this isn't the first time a so-called leap second has been added to a year. We've done so 27 times ever since 1971, although we always do it on either a June 30th or December 31st. And if you're already planning to be that person at the party who's a know-it-all insisting on ushering in 2017 by counting down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, extra one! Hey now, not so fast. The extra second shows up right before midnight only in the time zone home to Greenwich. That means if you're celebrating on Eastern Standard Time in the United States, for instance, that extra second gets added right as 6:59 p.m. is about to tick over to 7 p.m. Planning to party in, say, South Korea instead? That means your extra second gets added right before 9 a.m. on New Year's Day, so you can come into work a little late.
That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And hey, happy holidays, whatever and however you celebrate, from our family to yours. Part of that family, I should mention, is our audio producer Dylan Fagan and our editorial liaison Allison Loudermilk. Subscribe to Now for more of the latest science news, and send us links to anything you'd like to hear us cover. Plus, the name of your favorite holiday-related movie or TV episode. Mine is Die Hard. You can send us an email at nowpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And, of course, for lots more stories like these, head on over to our home planet, now.howstuffworks.com.